Welcome to our Holden Village podcast. For over 50 years now, Holden Village has traveled a rich history of faith that has transformed a copper mining town into a vibrant place of education, programming, and worship. Holden has sought to welcome all who seek contemplation and community in the remote wilderness of the beautiful Cascade Mountains. We continue to invite people of all ages to come alongside our rhythms, which inspire and equip travelers for a sustainable life of faith outside the village. And we continue to listen and reflect on our story and history and seek to discover our place in God's creative mission in our world. Our podcasts are a way of sharing our conversations with our teaching faculty around reformation, the reforming of our relationships with the earth, with each other, and with the divine. Let's tune in and join the conversation.
My name is David Nagler, and I'm a surfer and a pastor, Lutheran pastor down in San Diego, California. Over the course of my life, I've been here three times. The last time I was here was 2003. And I'm up here this week doing this whole focus on, the title is The Adaptive Change Facing the Church. And so the first session, I'm talking about what adaptive change is. Adaptive change is like a radical type of big change where you don't know, no one has the answer. So you have to experiment, you have to look for the community's wisdom, you have to allow yourself to get very clear about what is the core about what you're trying to do. And that's as opposed to technical change, which is that there you can bring in an expert, you can tweak this program or that thing, and then you're going to get to where you want to get to. And I think that the church is at a place right now where it's, you know, I've been a pastor for 25 years, and I think that it's tried all sorts of technical changes, like, you know, let's bring in guitars, or let's do, you know, I mean, let's try this thing or that thing. All of them have really never changed the church like it needs to. And I think now we're at a place where we need to talk about what is the core of who we are, and how do we really go into that space of complete letting go of all the stuff that's holding us back, and then going forward with what I think is grace, love, justice, and community. If we were just going to do that, what might it look like? So I've divided our sessions into a couple different things. There's a theological piece that talks about assessment of what theological premises are helping us and which ones are holding us back. Today I talked about the Echo Church, and one of those theological things was the doctrine of discovery that was back in 1455 when the Pope said, wherever you go in the world, you can go, and if there are people there, you can take their stuff, you can enslave them, because it's all to Christ's glory and Christ wants us to rule the world, right? That doctrine has never been formally repudiated, in at least in the mainline churches, and it forms the basis of how we've commodified everything. Land, people, oil, fisheries, lumber, everything has a price tag. And it comes from a theological understanding that all of it is there for us as God's chosen people. And we got to let go of that. That's never served us. It's ruining the planet. It's destroying cultures. It's actually robbing us of what it is that God wants us to be. So replacing that with this doctrine of original blessing, which was way up in the attic of the church. The church always focuses on the fall. So we start with a problem, human beings sin, and then everything from then is trying to figure out how do you fix that problem. And I think that that's a mistake. We should go back earlier and see when God creates the earth and it's all good. And if everything's good and blessed, then there's nothing to be fixed. There's instead things to be honored and respected and preserved. So then you think about how that would shift everything. You don't come to church just to hear about forgiveness, you predominantly come there to hear about blessedness and about giftedness and about your place in the wider scheme of things. And then you go from there not to just go fix problems, but instead to start with appreciating beauty and art and each other and what exists as it exists. So that's an example of one of the things we're looking at. Today, that was the second session, which was the environmentally friendly church, or the Echo Church. And then tomorrow, I'm doing one on the spiritual practice church. For the last 10 years, I've been regularly doing yoga. I very much enjoy going to yoga classes. And I had these ahas as a pastor watching yoga. I mean, churches have been in numerical decline across the country, but yoga studios are packing out. And yet, in the yoga studio, I realize a couple things. One is everyone in there is practicing. Even if it's your first time there, you're expected to just do what you can do. No one goes to a yoga class to just watch the yoga teacher do yoga. And that is kind of, unfortunately, what happens in a lot of churches, is everyone comes and they sort of perform the role a lot of an audience. And they're watching people up front do the thing. And then that becomes their spiritual practice. Now, I know that there's singing and there's praying and there's going to communion and there's been a lot of movement to get more people involved. But here's what we're not doing. We're not teaching people how to meditate. We're not teaching people how to be in silence. We're not offering opportunities to do lots of pilgrimages or retreats that are focused on journaling and digging deeper. I recently went on one of these retreats out in nature, and my thought was, this is what the church should be doing. It should be taking people who are at different places in their lives and helping them transition and think deeply about what it is that God's calling in their life, and then to actually expect them to pursue it, right? To have accountability and to follow up. You know, I think, for example, a good comparison would be 12-step groups. 12-step groups, you can go sit in the back and watch, but that's not the thing. When you go, the point is for you to put it out there. You say, this is what's happened. This is what I've done. This is where I need some help. And the whole community is there to basically accept you and help you move through whatever step you're working on. Everyone who goes to those things is expected to work on their steps, right? And that practice is, I think, something that the church could really learn from, to figure out how to reclaim some of those practices. Prayer, for example. I had a sabbatical and I had the opportunity to go to Plum Village. It's a Buddhist meditation place in France. It was founded by Thich Nhat Hanh from Vietnam. Wonderful, incredible, insightful person. And I went there and I was learning how to do basic meditation, walking meditation, sitting meditation, being part of it with all the monks and the nuns that were there. And it was there, it was like I learned how to pray for the first time. Before that, I'd always said prayers, but there's a difference between that and just being quiet and listening and quieting your mind and getting still enough so that God can actually touch you in a way. And that type of prayer, now I see it throughout Scripture. I see that's what Jesus is doing when he goes away to a quiet place. It's you know, what the prophets were doing. And it's something that we, I think, need to do more of. That'll be the third session, is on spiritual practices. And then the last session is on what does it mean to be a prophetic church? And by prophetic, I mean a church that speaks God's truth into the world. That's picking up what I think is the thread of Jesus' ministry that connects him back to the prophets. I think Jesus is doing what Isaiah and Ezekiel and Amos and Hosea and Micah, all those people, what they were doing, Jesus is doing, which is he's holding up, like to use Amos's idea, he's holding up a plumb line, a measuring stick to the society at large. And he's saying, these things are out of balance. And to do that, I think, in a way that incorporates love and speaking from the point of view of the margins, which Jesus was part of, is critical for the church to be able to have its voice again. Right now, as a pastor in a church, there's all this concern about, you know, you can't preach politics, right? I think you can't not preach politics. If you say nothing, you are being political. I think that the church should never be partisan. You shouldn't come to any church and know, okay, this obviously, here's who they're telling us to vote for, or all that kind of stuff. That's not right. But care for the poor, the fundamental dignity and right of every human being to exist and to have access to health care and clean water and an education, I mean, and good food. Those transcend political party, they should. And it's something that we always should hold up. We'll be doing this example real practical right now because, you know, coming from San Diego, we're a border city. And right now there's the whole zero tolerance. Children have been removed from their families. And many of them still are not with their families. Some of their families have been deported. There's a good several hundred that they don't even know where those family members are. So now we've created orphans. I think that the church has a responsibility to speak into that and to say that that whole policy no matter what it was trying to do, was immoral and wrong. Children should never be leveraged as pawns. I read this letter in the New York Times that they'd reprinted it from this 9-year-old girl writing to her mother, and it was saying, "Mom, will you please communicate with me? I don't know why you're not talking to me, but I'm afraid, and I wish that you would just write to me. I'm sorry if I've made you mad." I mean, and what you heard in that was this anguish of this girl whose mother had no way of contacting her because she wasn't being allowed to by our immigration customs enforcement. And so she is now having psychological trauma as a result of that. And I think the church has a responsibility to say that that's sin, it's wrong, it should never be allowed to stand. And the church should be willing to put its body on the line for that little girl. So we should be protesting, we should be willing to get arrested, we should be willing to pour out any privilege that we have on behalf of those people who are caught in the gears of that injustice. In the last class, we had someone who was saying, you know, they believe in all that's happening to the environment, but they said, but several people in their church think that climate change is a political issue. And I was like, but it's not. I mean, we've politicized it, but it's a science issue. You can deal with it for all sorts of political ways, but here's the bad thing. Not talking about it means death. It's putting your head in the sand while the earth gets hotter and we're all going to be cooking. When I look at the church going forward, to sort of summarize it, I think we have to look at our theology and get right about some core things that we've been missing. And then we need to be pro-environment in a new way. We need to be a church of spiritual practice. And then we also need to be a place that speaks prophetically into the society. If we do those things, I think that there's a chance that we might have a new group of folks who will pay attention to what we're doing and want to be part of that. Overall, I believe that the church is one of God's chosen instruments to bring peace in the world. And the church is going to be fine, the big C church, right? God's bubbling up all sorts of cool things all over the world. Our denominations and our congregations are up for grabs. I don't know that they'll be part of that. I hope they will. And I think they only will if they can make these adaptive changes. No one really cares if it's about what type of music you're using, or no one cares if you don't wear a robe or you wear an aloha shirt. That really, no one cares. What is the point is substantive. Do we stand up for people who are in need? Do we proclaim God's love to all people? And do we include people who've been marginalized? And do we take care of the earth? That's all that's going to matter.
Thanks for joining us for another Holden Village podcast. Be sure to view the links in the description for more information, or visit our website to find out more about the village. We hope you will make a pilgrimage to Holden. Blessings and peace to you.